Hello, everyone. My name is Dara. This is Dear Hallmark, and this is your safe space where we can come and chit chat about all things Hallmark Channel. And you guys, normally I'm by myself, but I am not by myself today. I am so pleased. I am so thrilled. I am so honored to have with us in the home of Dear Hallmark, the executive producer of not only Napa Ever After, but also the blockbuster Hallmark hit, I'm calling it right here, Sense
I love it.
Ability, Miss Tia A. Smith. Tia, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm great. And thank you for that incredible intro. Let me tell you, I love when you go in and out of accents. It's wonderful. And your review of so many things, but in particular, Sense and Sensibility was the review I didn't know I needed. I mean, we love all press, okay? We love all press and we appreciate it. But let me tell you, I howled at your review because you went in and out of character, you went to accents, your metaphors were on point. Girl, it was wonderful. So thank you.
That movie brought it out of me. So I say thank you because it took me to a place that I didn't know I could go. And it just brought up all the things out of me. So we should be thanking you. So thank you.
I'm glad it did because you blessed us all. That was an awesome review.
Thank you. So I want to get us started with an icebreaker question. This is just a fun question, okay. No pressure. So you are granted 2 weeks, all expenses paid, anywhere in the world. Where is Tia going?
Wow. You know, I love to travel, right? Okay, this is a lot. Oh, wow. 2 weeks.
All expenses paid.
I think I'm going to Australia.
Yes.
I'm going to Australia. And because I haven't, the furthest east I've been to is India, which was quite lovely. I piggybacked on a cousin's trip and it was just incredible. But I definitely want to get to Asia and, you know, Japan and Tokyo, the whole nine. But Australia, one little fun fact, I have always been obsessed and love great white sharks.
Wow.
And the Great Barrier Reef is about to dissipate, dare I say, with everything that's going on, you know, in the ecosystem. So that is one of the homes, the number one premier spots to cage dive with great whites. I did it when I was in Cape Town, in Gansbai. Yeah. The first weekend I was there, right after, my history is that I've been in and out of different networks as an executive, and then I go independent as a producer. So I did the Dave Chappelle, right? I had just left a network. And about 4 days later, I was in Cape Town and I lived there for like a month. I went to Africa. I was like, I got to go home. And you know, Cape Town, South Africa, specifically Gansbai Bay is Shark Alley. So that's where they shoot all of the Discovery Channel Shark Week stuff. And I went there first Saturday, me and my flatmates, we get into a cage and we observe sharks. So we saw bronzies, we saw all kind of fish. And then we met April, a 3,000 pound, 18 footer of a great white shark whose head was the size of half my body, that when we observed her, she seemed to move in, I'm sorry for this kind of bad situation I'm doing here, but it was in slow motion. It was the most humbling and beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. So I'm going to Australia because great whites hang out there and I want to observe more.
Okay,
yeah,
I
didn't guess
from
it.
You stat. I need you to write your memoir. I need you, I don't know, but I need you to write something, please. Thank you. Because that's wild. Oh,
yeah, it's again, an obsession I've always loved. So yeah, people think I'm crazy, but it was beautiful. It was intense. And it was, like I said, it was humbling.
I love that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Where do I? Let me open up my mind. Let's see here. So I have a tie between the Amalfi Coast in Italy and the Aurora Borealis in Iceland, because that's always been a dream of mine to go to Iceland and see the Aurora Borealis from there. And so if I got 2 weeks,
that's where you're going.
I love it.
And in fact, the young lady that played Bethany Antonia, who played Marianne.
Yes.
After she wrapped not too far because we wrapped around Christmas time. But she went to Iceland and experienced all of that. So yeah, hands on, you've got to speak to her. And it looked amazing. She did the whole dog sled thing, and it was fabulous. So yes, you're closer than you think.
Oh my gosh, for those of you listening, my mouth has been agape for the past 5 minutes. And we're just getting started. So, Tia, talk to us about little Tia. Would she be surprised by what you're doing now as an executive producer and working in the film industry?
Somewhat. I must admit, little Tia always was fascinated with television. Growing up a latchkey kid, it basically and mother who worked a couple of jobs. I was a latchkey kid, so television was my home base. I did all the things I needed to do after playing outside, coming in and just sitting down and watching. And I just grew up in the age of Oprah. And there were a lot of Black female imagery in the space. So between her and a local newscaster, Maureen Bunyan, I just was enamored by them. So when I went to college, a lot of my efforts were to be in front of the camera. And I was pretty good, I was okay. But I really fell in love with producing when we had to take producing literally 101. I went to school upstate New York, Ithaca and Cornell. So it's like, I fell in love with it. We got a chance to get it, just take cameras out for the weekend and just shoot and create and, working with a team and assembling some of the best department heads as we were learning and growing together and having an idea and creating it, either writing it or just having the idea and assembling this incredible team to have it leave the page and be executed fully and on task. I was like, oh, yes. This is what I want to do. And I just dug my heels into it. I was 10 toes down in it and just loved it and had several internships with BET straight out of, when I was a junior and senior to Cable News 21 to Kiss FM. So I learned very early I'm not the news girl. But I was glad that I had that experience to let me know and cherry pick where I wanted to go. So little Tia would not be too surprised. Maybe she would be surprised at all of the things that I've done. I don't like to be put in a box. So I've done everything from documentaries to live events with the NAACP Awards, shows at the White House to strip shows like I Love the 80s and Black in the 80s for VH1 to Megadeth to Van Halen to U2 I've worked with to Jay-Z to, you know what I mean? Just like all of the different genres and formats to crime shows, to behind the music, to 13 movies, to consulting. So all of these things, I know she would be like, wow, you're working a lot. And we're gonna really fully express ourselves with some great projects. So I think that she would have a little bit of an eyebrow raise there, but outside of that, she would think that we had fun and still having fun.
Yeah, I'm gonna need that book for real. Like, I'm gonna need that book. So how did
Yeah.
throughout all of your different paths and places that you've been and places that you've worked at, how did you connect with Hallmark and specifically Mahogany?
Wow. Actually, when I was at VH1, it wasn't what we see today. It really was transforming and being the sister channel of MTV, a little bit of classic rock, some pop, right? And it wasn't as diverse, I'll be quite honest. Even from positioning within the building, Toni Judkins, who's now the SVP of Mahogany Division, she was the in-house producer. And I was the freelance producer. I had just moved from the DMV area. I loved Behind the Music, and they were doing a New York unit. So I sent all my stuff to them. I literally looked at the names on the credits, and I sent them all my stuff. And they called me 2 weeks later, and they were like, "Kid, you're good. Can you leave in 2 weeks?" And I was like, "Oh, okay. I guess we're leaving." Packed up my stuff, stayed with my friends in Brooklyn, and literally worked for VH1. And again, that's where I met Toni. She was full time, and we gravitated. We did the whole silly kind of thing. We were like, hey girl, hey, good to see you. Hi. And we just shared stories. We worked together on things. She's brilliant with and has always been brilliant from being on the inside and in the corporate arena, and really being able to articulate what is needed from persons of color as far as programming, imagery representation. She has always been that person, like, listen, this is what we need to do. Here's some programming. And we worked together on several projects within the building, and we just got to be really close personally and professionally. And then when she left VH1, she went to TV1. And I stayed in New York, and I had just started. I left VH1. I started my own production company in New York. And she was like, Tia, I'm at TV1 and I really want some producers and directors. I don't want people who are just suits, that are just give notes. I really want to be able to create programming that is consistent and that makes sense. Why don't you come on back? Because it was in the Maryland area where TV1 is headed, the headquarters. And I said, no, girl, just keep on kicking me some work. I'm good. And it's so funny. Eventually, it kind of made sense. And I started working under her. She was the head of the department and did so many amazing, quality shows. And I was one of her executives. Then she left, went to LA. She did her independent thing. And then maybe about 4 or 5 years later, I get a call and she's like, Tia, I'm at Hallmark and I'm doing Mahogany and this is what we want to express. And everybody knows the brand, right? I couldn't believe it was 30 years that Mahogany Cards have been in existence. I know that we have just always supported it and felt like that we were seen in it, from the colors, from the way it was written, all those great things. And she was like, listen, I'm doing movies and guess what? I want you to do some. And I was like, sign me up. Because not only is she a wonderful creative, she's an incredible just partner in those things that need to drive home great messaging and great representation. So, I got the call for Napa Ever After, which was my first baby.
Before we get into Napa,
Yeah.
for those of us who are just onlookers, could you just kind of pull the veil back a little bit on what exactly being a producer of a movie means? Because if we look on IMDb, we'll see. I remember even looking at the IMDb credits for Sense and Sensibility, and I saw, oh, there's a line producer, there's a consulting producer, there's an executive.
Oh,
So there
yes.
seems to be that word producer seems to wear a lot of hats, and it seems to be for different things. Could you shed some light on that for us, and what exactly a producer means?
Yeah, a producer proper is the person that's helming the ship. They're working all departments. Depending on how they came into a project, they can literally take it from its inception, from finding the writer and or either having the idea and finding the writer, putting the team together, making sure that the creative stays on task, from the creative to the casting to the hiring to meetings to the financials to finding the funding to get it done to finding the distribution and the cable aspect, right? So you can have a full out producer that takes it from that. But like you said, there's certain types, okay? So your executive producer, in this case, that was my role from, as we say, the beginning to the end, the script to screen, making sure that all the departments have what they need. You're kind of like the mama and papa of the project. See it like an umbrella. You're over every moving part. I'm making sure that people are playing well, they have what they need. I'm a creative producer, technically, of the movie. So I was working hand in hand with incredible Roger Bob. We've done several Christmas movies. I mean, he's just brilliant. And it was at other networks. And for us to come back together again was awesome. So you had the A team there. We have our own language from, making sure that we're hitting the creative beats. They call me Eagle Eye Smith. So I'm looking at the monitor, making sure that everything is together. We don't have anybody walking through the shots. We're making sure that certain accoutrement is there. So that's the creative producer. So I wore that hat. And then executive producer again is the overseeing of the whole process. And then we had the brilliant Vanessa Riley, who was our historical Siri. As you know, she's all things Regency. So she was our consulting producer because she was invaluable because she's just a beautiful person anyways. But her knowledge is insane from the Regency period. So from the curtsies to the dialect to the how someone picks up a fork and how they place it down in history is different.
Wow.
The specificity was crazy, that women, older women, couldn't have lace on their costuming because that was Victorian, to the umpire waist, to the tendrils. I don't know if I did this kind of as a subconscious thing because this is very Regency.
On
I
brand, on
don't know
brand.
what's happening. Wash hair day. But either way, yeah, it's on brand. But like all of the specificity to, for me, I don't deal in a lot of mute as a creative. So I like a lot of color to pop, which is another mahogany pillar that differentiates itself from a lot of things that they do on Hallmark proper. So for me, as opposed to saying, okay, we need the table set and dress, and I want some color, and I want to make sure we have this, she okayed. Yes, literally, that huge fish was during that time, that particular bass. Like we were intricate. The gelatin, no, they did not have that type of, it was gold, it was not silver. Like her, again, specificity was on 9,000. So she was our consulting producer. Line producer has to deal with the money and the budgets and the days and making sure that vendors are being paid. They are our money person. What else did you mem consult? Yeah, she was consulting, line producer, creative producer slash executive producer. And then we had our producers that was from the production services, UFO Films. And then when we were in Bulgaria and Ireland, so they have a unit called BUFO Films, Bulgarian UFO. And that was Philip Roth and also Jeffrey Beach, who owned that production services. So we ran the production respectively through their production company. So they were the producers. I was the EP and creative. So yes, a lot of us, but we work together. The goal is to make it all come together. Everyone tracks in their lanes and we collaborate all the way through. So hopefully that was clear.
It just goes to show how much really goes into a project. Like it's wild. I did this series last year called The Masterclass, where I was intentional on reaching out to people more behind the camera. So I got to interview a set photographer, a production designer, a costumer, things like that. And hearing them, like their stories on how they contribute to this huge idea, and then to even hear about just the specificity of producing, like, my goodness, it
And
is.
that was just the producing team, to your point. I mean, production is a team sport. So, I'm conversing with our production design, Alexi, to make sure that the frames are proper, that, and then, getting it okayed by Vanessa to make sure that we have Dumas in there because we wanted real representation of those during that time from Medici, the first Black Duke in Italy. We had a lot, and Jane Austen was even peppered in. So, speaking with her and then working with Kara San, who caught the vision, along with Kim Kimble, who did all of the research. Yes, I saw it when you dropped the iPad. The team is stellar, honey. This team was stellar. So you're talking about these people that are premier artists in their own right, absorbing the content, getting into it, researching, us having meetings about what will make sense logistically, because we had 15 days for 90 scenes. So yeah, like this is not a game. So from the camera department, getting the vision from Roger Bob, making sure that everything is competitive looking, setting up the camera and moving it 30 times a day, then making sure that the actors are feeling and getting what they need. Kim Kimble, wig upon wigs. I can't even, it was just humbling to see a straight wig. She's in there beading and sewing and tying up and tendriling and fitting and gluing. To Kara San, we were only budgeted for 25, costumes and ending up with 65 costumes in 20 days because her and her team just went crazy. Vanessa and I bringing fabric from the States, over there because we wanted it to be that unique. Now, of course, you know, there's great shops and vendors in Bulgaria, but it was just, you know, the location and the logistics of it all just didn't work for how we were moving. So we were fashion mules, but everything was legit in bringing all of that stuff over. But, you know, it truly is a team sport, and it's beautiful when everyone comes together. An ensemble cast of 20, 30, you know, people and extras, and, you know, so the credits are real. Those are real human beings that put their all into it day by day.
Can I tell you, I saw, I think your team, you, Kara, Vanessa, Tony, Kim, did something. Was it for TV Guide? I think you guys did.
Oh, yes. Before. Yes.
That was so beautiful to see, just beautiful Black women doing the daggone thing. It's just so, yes, I want to be y'all when I grow up. Because it's like everything about Sense and Sensibility, and just hearing you talk about how much effort and work was put behind it, it came across, it good. Sure enough came across, because I felt the excellence in the, like, it's just something that's what stirred in me. That's what provoked all of the accents and like all of the theatrics, because I was just so, like, it made me so happy. Like, it just made me so happy as a Black woman who watches Hallmark to see something like that. Like, my heart grew three sizes that day. Like, it was just so, it was so beautiful.
Honestly, I've really had a wonderful and having a great time in production, where the people that I've come across take their work seriously. I mean, there have been some interesting times that we won't talk about, but they're very, you know, few and far and in between. Like, I've been afforded to work with so many incredible people. And a lot of times we make things look so easy, but love is in the details. You know, making sure that the hair is right, making sure that they truly did have that type of horse to the type of lamp that would go outside of a carriage, that we covered up and made our own family logos, that, you know, even though we're shooting now, we did all of our exteriors in Ireland, tracking that, you know, all of the exteriors, now we have windows that pull up, right? Not in the Regency. So our VFX team, I'm having to go through and make sure that everything is single pane. You understand? Like, a single pane, they, you know, make, the intricacies were labors of love, but of excellence. Hallmark has an incredible brand, and a whole standard that they deal with that has to be consistent. We knew that this was the first of its kind, even though I did learn from a historical standpoint, thank you, Vanessa, that technically, you know, from 1790 to around 1820, there were at least 25,000 free and working and very independent African people of the diaspora doing all kind of things. You know, a lot of tones always leave us back to servitude and slavery, which is a part of it too, right? True. But you're talking about entrepreneurship, people having businesses, it truly being a caste system where people were marrying because who had the most money, you know? So we were thriving, we were doing all kinds of things. And to have this kind of mixing of people is not so far-fetched from there over, you know, across the pond, darling. Oh, you're getting me into these accents and I'll butcher it. I'm not as good as you. But I'll play a little bit. But yeah, like, this was real. So unfortunately, we haven't really been taught the real history, dare I say. So there's a lot of things happening, I know, over here. And, you know, when things are becoming new to people, they're feeling that they didn't know it and it's woke and this is being made up, when actually the real stories and history were not told from the beginning, dear heart. So I hope people catch up. I hope they do their research. And at the beginning and end of the day, there's humanity in it all. Ugh. Period.
Pointless.
Period.
Stop.
So let's get to making stories that are totally relatable. So Sense and Sensibility had you know, the talk of sisterhood that Jane Doe brought up, Jane Austen, forgive me, you know, brought out to family, to, you know, exploration, to wanting more, to not, you know, to being humble, you know, all of these things that intrinsically we have as humans. So
Yes.
that is the story that we wanted to reimagine, just from a sense of showing it a little bit more colorfully, but just show a human story because we're all a part of the fabric. So let's go, you know? So I'm glad you felt that because that's how we looked at it. Let's tell this human story. Let's normalize some things that you may not be used to, and let's have a good time. That's it.
And you know what else, Tia? You know what I want you to know? I was not the only one who thought this or said this, but because of your labor of love and because of your team's sacrificial just outpouring of just grinding over those costumes, over the history, over just over everything, I've heard it time and time again how people who have not read the book, myself included, now want to read the book because of your movie, because of the movie that you put together. So I just want to thank you and let you know that your labors are were not in vain and they did not go on deaf eyes or ears, because now you're provoking in us wanting to actually read the book that this was based off of. And how many other iterations of this have been done already? But yet when we see yours, it provoked something in us like, oh, I need to read the book now because of this specific
What
iteration
are
or
you doing, lady?
specific
Stop it.
adaptation. Oh no, I'm
I'm
going
going.
in there. I'm going in there.
I know. I'm like clutching the pearls. I'm verklempt. All of
It's
those things again.
true. It's
Thank you.
true. This is what film, this is what storytelling is supposed to do. It's supposed to go in and pull something and provoke something. And I am just so happy that I can be on the receiving end of this to be able to just witness again, just excellence, 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 like 7 crowns,
Man,
800 crowns, all of them, all of them, all of them.
wonderful. Listen, on behalf of the team, because again, it takes a village. Thank you. We appreciate that. We just do. I have no words. You're gonna make me tear up
Okay, so to prevent any Niagara falling happening,
Yes, no.
let's talk about some of your favorite scenes of Sense and Sensibility that you can
Wow.
remember, either witnessing or if it was in the editing room, you were just kind of taken aback. Like, talk through with us your favorite scenes from the film.
Wow, there's so many. I loved the ball scene. I love seeing everybody just dressed up to the nines, all of the hair of the creativity, the gowns going extra there, how Bethany Antonia played, you know, seeing Willoughby, because that's just, that moment is just hard. Oh gosh, it's hard. I just love the nuances that she brought out with that. And Deborah, oh my gosh. Her eyes say so much. Like every single scene with Deborah is insane.
Insane.
There's some beautiful like scenes that Roger captured. I also direct and I just love movement. Okay. So I just love the subtle push-in of her on the bed when she's looking out and it's daylight. She looks like a painting, you know? So like I love the subtlety of things. Those are the things that really are beautiful. Too, if you saw the international version, there's a duel scene between Willoughby and Colonel Brandon. Yeah, that because you know, for the domestic version, respectively, we have to get it to a certain time. So
Sure.
there's some scenes that are in there. But the international version that just aired not too long ago has some more scenes of some carriage rides and then also the duel scene between those two. I don't know. I just loved seeing the burgeoning love between, you know, Dan and Deborah. I loved that. It was, again, it was the subtle aspect of it. And Miss Fanny, darling, just the cutting of the eyes and Miss Jenning. Like, I'm going through all the scenes. Can you see this? Tracking all the scenes, don't judge me.
Movie,
I
actually.
love the movie. Miss Jennings was a hoot to Sir Middleton's, just their banter, their prattling going back and forth. All of it. I don't want to leave anything out, but like everyone brought their A game from the acting. They truly, from the meetings that Roger would have, he's very just a personable director. Like I love his tone that he sets. There is a let's do this, let's get to business. And there's also a familiarity that he brings out where he creates a wonderful safe space for them to explore. So there were several takes that are on the editing floor, but we had a good time to seeing that exchange of the actors and what they would bring to the table too. So every scene is just is beautiful. I loved how, Marianne finally came around after she got out of her bad boy stage, right? And she saw that Colonel Brandon was there all along, like he's always there. And so Akil was brilliant in that. I loved his quiet strength, but how he picked up and was like, I got you. So even in your review, it was great to see the chivalry that you talked about that is not really so present now. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but it was a different time, a different mood and feel. So again, I believe that our actors conveyed that whimsical, the romance, the respect of it all. So it was quite dreamy. And I just listed all the scenes in the movie, I think.
Can I tell you?
All of
So Hallmark, like, it brings me and my older sister together. Like, we always text and FaceTime about the Hallmark movies. And she didn't see Sense and Sensibility until, because she's also she works in the healthcare field, so her time is limited. But she just watched Sense and Sensibility, I think, a couple weeks ago, and she's sending me all of these crying gifts. And before this, her one of the Hallmark Christmas movies was like her overall favorite Hallmark movie ever. She was like, Dara, I wasn't ready. This movie did something. And I said, is this movie better than that Hallmark Christmas movie? She was like, I don't even know what that other Hallmark Christmas movie is. This
Got
movie,
the
she went off. And this is via text, mind you. So she's
Oh
like
my goodness.
texting all of this. She watched it twice. Like she watched it one day and then watched it the
Oh.
next day, like she never watched it before.
Gonna get some new popcorn. That's the only what? Are you
Oh,
serious? I
seriously.
love.
Like we adore this movie. And can I tell you one of my favorite scenes? I love the way, and again, I never read the book, but I could tell so vividly between, Deborah was the woman who played Eleanor, between
Yes.
her and then Bethany's portrayal of Marianne, how their
Yes.
characters were, like their character dynamic, with Eleanor carrying so much on her shoulders. And like you said, so much could be seen through her eyes because it was almost as if she felt like she couldn't say anything. She just had to take it all. But yet you saw her took it up, it all. And it was in, I think it was the dinner scene. When Miss Lucy gone when they retreat to the drawing room and then Lucy comes to Eleanor to tell her that she's engaged
Yes.
to our guy. And I think we all collectively gasped at that point. I feel like that was a collective gasp. And then personally, one of my favorite scenes was when Marianne stood up and kind of I would say figuratively stood up against Dan Janot's stepmother, I believe, or
Oh,
aunt.
yes, Mrs. Ferris. Yeah,
Yes,
Mrs. Ferris,
Mrs.
the stepmother.
Ferris. And she had that crack in her voice. And she was just like, well, I can't take this anymore. And she was very serious. And I'm like, why do I feel like I'm looking at myself? Like it was just,
I love.
everything was just, again, I'm about to name all the scenes.
And I love it. It's not fair. It's kind of like, especially when you ask a filmmaker, what's your favorite movie? You can pinpoint a few, but it's like so, it's triggering. You can't do that. So I'm glad that you found so many too. And it was important for us, even though you didn't read it, we really it's spot on, from the book and from respectively the 1995 Oscar winning movie, with Kate Winslet. And so like we wanted to make sure that it tracked according to the book and also the one that was already out in the space and that won the Oscars. we didn't deviate too much from it. I mean, there were certain nuances. I even love now that I'm thinking about it, the little tea thing. You know, as the ladies got some information, they sipped their tea back and forth and looked at each other. I felt like that was a nice thing that we would do. You know what I mean? It's very culturally appropriate and funny, you know? They're like, oh, okay, let us sip this tea, darling.
Literally and
So
figuratively.
literally. And so those are the things that were peppered in that felt kind of like us, you know? And just also seeing the different ways that Kim Kimble, you know, approached hair. She wanted it to be texture. You know, some, you know, we come in all kind of textures, literally. I mean, everyone on the planet does. So when you're dealing with, you know, the curly to the wavy to the straight to the thicker to the tighter, you know, all of it is necessary. All of it should be represented and all of it can be beautiful. So that was the approach from characters to everything that you saw, you know, visually to where you saw it in the heart. We wanted the human experience. You know, when we talk about representation, that was the representation we were talking about. That heart, cultural, visual, and relatability.
Sheesh.
So thank you again. So I don't
Sheesh.
feel so bad with every scene. Yeah, that's okay.
Now, I would be remiss if I did not mention the music, because you want to talk about something that is us. I'm sitting there minding my Hallmark business, and then watching the movie, and then all of a sudden I hear the violin go, and I'm like, wait, I think I know that cut. And then we end up talking about a week. Like, what? You have to talk with us about your creative vision, your thought process in the music choice, because that just, and that was something my sister and I quote, she said it slapped her across the face and she wasn't ready. So it just was.
It wasn't distracting too. Okay, so again, those are the choices that are made to make it feel familiar and like for the Mahogany brand, right? So a lot of us within that demo brand got it. And in fact, I had an SWV song in Napa Ever After too. I'm like, what's going on with SWV? But I can't take all of the credit by any means. Tony Judkins, SVP Mahogany, is incredible with music. That's where we met at VH1. But just in general, she's tight with her music. So this is what good producing is. A producer is only as good as their resources. So Carrie Muzzy, Tony, and I were all babes at VH1. And you know, everyone does different pivots in life. You know, he had done different network things, and he was back then, he was like, I want to score movies back then. Even though we're not that young, I mean, we're not that old, darling. But, you know, it's kind of like Tony reached out to him and said, I want you to score this movie. So as a producer, because she's the network EP, she brought him into the, and he composed original strings and everything else, right? He did all the scoring. And because Tony wanted that familiarity, she said, okay, we want two pieces that are classical, but that we would know. And she selected Week and then also Kiss from a Rose and the ball scene. And we got the Vitamin Quartet to do that, who also does Bridgerton. So, you know, there's certain things that we wanted to make sure that we were, you know, representing, it was familiar, and that we were also competitive. So very, very proud of that. So gotta give props to Tony and the team and just the visioning of that. Worked out lovely.
Oh my goodness. Now,
I'm
time
glad you
flies when you're having fun, Tia. It really does.
We're
So
almost done.
almost, but because I know you have way more projects to give us and stuff for us to chew on later. But
Right.
a couple of questions before I let you go.
Yes.
Is there anything you can tease that you may be working on? And that's up. Anything you can just, oh God, that's
Wink,
just
wink.
wink, wink. Anything.
Well, I'm still continuing to consult. I have, meaning that, like I said, a lot of my story's been in and out of different networks. So a lot of people come to me as far as writers and producers and directors, and they're like, T, you know, look at this script. And I script doctor it. I know how to make it dope. I consult on packages and decks, how to get things sold to different networks. So I can't say, but I've consulted with a very big project that's about to be on a streaming network. That's all I can say because NDAs have been signed and talks are in negotiation. So stand by for that. And then directing a few things that I have down the pike too, with some actors that you would definitely know. Yeah, so there's a lot of things and a lot of travel with some of these projects too. And like I told you, we love to travel. Yeah,
Yes,
so that's
indeed.
on the
So, Miss Tia, it has been an absolute joy to talk with you, to spend
Likewise.
time with you, to chop it up with you, and all of those.
Yes.
It's been such a treat, such a treat. But before I let you go, I want to give you
Okay.
space to just say whatever it is you want to say. You could talk about great white sharks, Australia hair, whatever you want to say, this is
All
just
the things.
moment, all the things. This is your moment with the viewers and the listeners. This is just your moment to have. So I'm gonna let you have the last word.
Well, I want to actually thank you for all that you do. I mean, you are proof and point of where we are in the creative space right now. I love where we are. That's the reason why I rebooted my production company. People are expressing themselves. They're making content that I love to create also. So as a content creator, I want to celebrate you and I want to celebrate all of the Oscars and awards that you will get because, honey, you are hilarious and acting classes are necessary and or you just need to do that for all of us involved. So thank you in advance. But no, I really, really am excited about this space creatively. There's so many stories to be told. There's so many avenues and platforms that you can create for yourself. There's so many partnerships that you can tap into. Find yourself a mentor, be inspired by people, do the work, study, push yourself, open the door for more. There's enough work for all of us, even though people seem like it's not, you know. Create and shoot your shot. When you see diamonds in the rough, you know, shine them off, bring them along for the ride because you can't do it all yourself and you shouldn't. So, you know, continue to evolve, continue to give, walk in integrity, you know, the very thing that you want, you should be giving to others, you know, have your tribe, whereas, you know, iron sharpens iron. No one has attained. So again, we are all trying to figure it out. Have a good time with it and make sure that your tribe, you're supporting them, but you can also receive great criticism that can make you stronger. So I leave you with that. I'm grateful for all the different projects I have going on. Thank you for your support in advance. I am grateful for us meeting and that bridge being Hallmark and great content. They are continuing to do some incredible work that is on brand and also expanding some elements of the brand because that's the age of where we are. So I'm grateful to be a part of it. Like I said, Napa was my first baby. So shout out to that. We keep growing, we keep glowing, and you know, that's what I'm about, and I hope you are too.
Ooh, so the collection plate will be passed to the end of the row. Please be sure to drop no less than $20 into the plate.
Here we go. Well, it's so funny you said that because my mantra for Talented Soul, my company is Talented Soul Productions, and our mantra is inspire, create, produce. So I'm going to inspire you. People inspired me. I give, you know, everybody needs a little inspiration. So I listen, pray for me as I pray for you. And I hope
Oh.
that people really, really get to their passion points. That's what it's about. So go for it.
Well, y'all, you heard the boss. Go for it. So, with that being said, her name is Tia. I'm Dara. This is Dear Hallmark, and I will talk to you guys in the next episode. Ciao, my
Thank
friends.
you. Thank you, Diana.